maybe you can.
Okay, so is everybody here? We got 100%.
Lene coded.
She's not. Huh? She did.
She's in the. Oh, no, she was not. On the email.
Yeah, I sent it. I sent it out to her, but she didn't code.
She's not coding. Okay.
She just. Well, I just wanted her to come to see what we're doing and to kind of.
Okay, then I need an extra.
Yeah. Do you want me to close this one too?
Yeah, sure. To kind of make a pitch for people to volunteer to or get paid to code her data.
Oh, I just got confused when you sent the output to her too.
So no, I just, you know, I just, you know, I wanted to feel included. Nice guy that I am. So I got 7 Q sorts this week, and what I did was I looked at them and I. Let me pull this up here for you guys. Now, they all couldn't fit in one sheet of paper, so. That's the second part of it. But anyway, you'll see. I see. It does fit in. It fits on one page in the file, but when you print it out, it bumps 2 of the people to the next page. Okay, fine. So everything's here. And what I did was I counted the number of, for each person, I counted the number of correlations that were over 0.5 for each person. And that's how you determine how well people are doing. So if you want to try that, count the number of correlations above 0.5. That'll give you a sense of how you're doing so far. It's just a very rough indication. The high correlation was this 0.67. This is Giacomo and Sarah. I think you two are soulmates. Didn't you guys have a high correlation last week too?
No, it was me and Giacomo.
Oh, you and Giacomo. Okay. We got romantic jealousies and competitions going on.
That'll work for advisement for you.
Oh, no. So anyway, what I want to do today is mostly just go over the session and talk about it a little bit. I just found out it was kind of an atypical session for the therapist and the patient, but we're going to be coding atypical sessions. These are the people's individual distributions on all 100 items.
The videos that we're going to code, are they all different kids or just one kid?
Two kids.
Okay.
Yep. All right, so, it's one kid actually,
one kid.
Yeah.
Number 5 is weird.
Number 5.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to see, but
two of us have it really said high. Really high, and one said in the middle, and the other said really low. So that you're right, that would be a good item to discuss. Shoshana and Laura said item 5 was characteristic. Let me see what item 5 is, because I don't have it memorized yet. Child has difficulty understanding the therapist's comments. Did this child seem confused or fail to understand the therapist's comments? All right, how would you behaviorally determine that? Child repeatedly says, "What?" or otherwise indicates that he or she doesn't know what the therapist means. And then you put it uncharacteristic if the child readily demonstrates comprehension of therapist comments. Like, uh-huh, okay, all right, or follows an instruction or whatever. So, let the fighting begin.
I would probably say that I should have put it a little bit more to the middle.
them, but definitely.
Oh, you're a pushover. It's too easy. You got to fight.
Well, yeah, but only fight for what I believe in.
He didn't respond a lot, but I didn't think. But that's like a lot of inference to say that he didn't understand you. You know what I mean?
That is a different card too, the ignoring the therapist card. I think I definitely put that one as pretty salient, but that's a different card. I remember this card too, that I had it in 6, but I had to bump something else up, so it got bumped up to 7. But
there were times,
but I still thought it was more on 6 to 7 than.
Yeah, I think it probably is closer there. Also, like there was at least one time, if not more, when he said that, like I don't know, like. What are you asking? I don't understand. Like, happened a couple of times, so
I remember Laura asking him, "I don't help me understand what you said," but
yeah,
not really.
I didn't understand him.
I'm the middle pile person. I think like because he didn't look like he was really. He wasn't doing either or what you mentioned. Like he was just like not responding most of the time. It's like she had to ask him like the same thing like 4 times to get some whatever response. So like I felt like it didn't belong in there.
I felt that he was kind of like. I don't know, acting either just shy or like he's giving her the cold shoulder, kind of like from the beginning, right when he comes in, she starts trying to ask him what he's doing, and he really just like, you know, doesn't respond at all. And she wasn't asking any like complicated questions, she was just saying like, and I felt like it was more that he was kind of either being shy or.
That was my interpretation of what I observed when I viewed the tape, and I felt that this, and of course I know this kid because I'm supervising this case, so, but I can't allow that to influence my view of this particular session. But even not knowing any of that, I would tend to think that this kid understands, he's just not wanting to comply with you know, responding or collaborating with the therapist in the session. It's not a question of not understanding. So you know, I look at this item and I think more uncharacteristic. That's just me. See, now Laura and Shoshana should be trying to kill me right now.
No, I see what you're saying. I might not put it in a 2, but I might be down with a 4 or 5.
You're down with a 4 or 5?
Yeah. I'm coming down. Convince me some more, I'll get down to 2 now.
Sarah.
I thought that I can't read what I put, but I felt like all the questions that you asked were based on something he has said. So that was, I think I put it towards unharacteristic, because it seemed like you were going off of what he said initially.
Yeah, you gave it a 2.
Yeah.
Right. So that's.
So it was, having difficulty was uncharacteristic.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because
that's where I would put it.
Yeah, because it wasn't like you were asking him anything new, that he would, like, new topics. So, like, he had started everything that you had asked, so it just kind of seemed like he was in the conversation, whether he answered you or not.
Now, Sylvia raised an interesting issue. Sylvia says, well, there was this time when he asked Laura to repeat what she said. I don't remember that. I just, is that
no,
what you said?
No, the other way around. Laura asked him.
Oh, yeah, Laura asked
so
him.
There was a time when he totally forgot what I asked. He was like building the road.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
But we didn't think to see it because we were tapes. And my tape started with you saying something. Unless my tapes are like a second later, but in the tape you said, well, we were talking about it and I assumed.
Oh,
that
was after the bathroom break.
Yeah.
That's where
you
cut off the bathroom break.
It was before that where he expressed some form of not knowing what she asked. I don't know if it was
confused. What happened is I asked something and then he didn't respond for a really long time, and then he gave me a kind of furtive look, and I said, oh, what was that about? You just sort of looked at me like you wanted to say something.
Yeah.
And interpreted the nonverbal, and that's when he said, well, I actually just forgot what you said. So So that was sort of part of this, I think, because he just, I felt like he wasn't paying attention at times. But sometimes I felt like he was defensive too, but...
Well, even if he's not paying attention, that's different from not understanding.
True.
Right? If he's not paying attention, that doesn't mean he's not capable or he's not getting what she's saying to him. Right? And what I thought you were saying, Sylvia, to get back to my earlier point, is that I thought you were saying that... now I lost my train of thought. What was it?
You're going to repeat what I said. Uh-huh.
Huh?
Can I repeat what I
yeah,
said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, like, he didn't say uh-huh, but didn't even say, I don't know what you're saying. Like, he didn't say anything at all.
I remember what it is now.
Oh, you remember.
Yeah. That if he, let's say he did not understand. He said, I don't really understand what you said. Okay? Okay, so you have one example. One. And what's my favorite cliche?
One
swallow doesn't make a summer. Now, for those of you who score their waist, and so you know, isn't that one of the?
Yeah.
So, one swallow doesn't make a summer. That's in the comprehension subscale, right?
One of the last.
One of the last. Okay. Well, do people know what it means?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know the waist.
Okay. All right. So. Well, Dustin, I know, hasn't heard it before. The swallows of Capistrano, California, they come all at one time of the year. They migrate and they come back and they roost in this one isolated area in California. And what it means, one swallow doesn't make a summer, means one swallow that comes back doesn't mean that summer's here.
Okay.
Just because one comes back.
Yeah.
Cause they don't come back all on the same day or hour. So just because this kid might say, I don't understand what you said, he says it once, that doesn't mean that makes it characteristic of the session,
yeah,
that he doesn't understand the therapist's comments. Okay. It just means that in one moment of the session, you'd want more examples than just one to say that that's characteristic of an entire session. Right? We're thinking about the whole session. Is that characteristic or uncharacteristic of this kid's behavior in the entire session? And even if there was one example of it, it's still, I mean, yeah, you'd have to move it to a different pile, maybe slightly different, but it's still not gonna change your overall perception of his behavior in the session as understanding or not understanding the therapist's comments. I mean, does that make sense? You look confused.
No, I'm looking at something else now. But I was listening to this.
Okay.
But no, I'm agreeing more and more.
No, I have a question, like, about usually you put in a two. Because isn't a two, like, for the opposite direction? Like, he really looks like he's understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I would think of a two as, like, him saying, yeah, and responding with more elaborated, but that's another part, responding with more elaborated speech or play.
He did answer your questions, which indicates that he understood.
Maybe, no, I mean, three would be fine. I'd be happy with a three.
Yeah. Also, going, like, more to the case of, like, being defensive, at one point, like, he was very explicitly defensive, saying, well, that I'm not going to talk about. And you're like, it sounds pretty important, and he's just like, didn't respond to that. So, I mean, that's how
I understood
the lens that I was looking at most of it, just because that sort of confirms, like, what I was seeing non-verbally throughout the rest of the session.
Absolutely.
I have a question.
Yeah.
When you say that one example of something changes, let's say, what pile it would go into, so does that automatically mean it wouldn't be in the extremes anymore, or it just means that it would become an 8 instead of a 9?
Well, there's no hard and fast rule, right? Because the rule is that you're actually rating these items in relation to all the other items. Remember, it's a rank ordering form of methodology. So you're rank ordering this item in relation to all the other 99. So you can't make a rule like, oh, well, if there's one example, that means you bump it down one pile number. You can't do that, but you certainly want to think about a less extreme pile, definitely. As with any of these items, if you find an example where this kid doesn't understand something, right, you're not going to put in pile one. You might not even put in pile two. You might put in pile three. But you do want to be flexible with where you put it based on the number of examples that begin to accumulate as you're thinking about the session. And the more examples that accumulate, the more you're going to go into the neutral pile. But there's no hard and fast rule because, again, this is an ordinal distribution. So it depends upon where all the other items are in the distribution, too. Does that make sense? So that was a good one. Get some good. I want to see real
already
fighting.
I see a bunch
though.
That were all
yeah?
all over the place.
Okay,
on.
Give me
that's probably why this whole matrix looks
now,
ridiculous.
Now I have the actual video, so we can pull that up. And if you guys have actual time stamps on your comments, I can pull that right up right away. So I just want to let you know that I have that available here.
I was going to say that it also says, like, I'm not talking, like, I wasn't talking about that. It says, I don't want to talk about that right now. Like, so I think also he may have just been, you know, getting maybe irritated about the question and ignoring them. And, I don't know. I feel like this session he was not happy. Maybe he like, didn't want to go, and his parents made him go. And then mm-hmm. he got in there, he was still kind of, like, angry about it, so he was like,
or maybe he missed a previous session and he's pissed off at the therapist for having abandoned him. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Those are reasonable hypotheses to entertain, though,
mm-hmm.
as we look at this material. Sarah.
Okay, this is just a little off topic, but that one card about the session is relevant to the client's problem. What should we do with that card?
Well, you know, was it you, Leah, who originally earmarked that card as being problematic?
Yeah, I remember we talked about like that in general last week, but I still don't know what to do because I have no idea.
Burn it.
I was like the very last one, and I just don't know.
All right, do you remember the item number? We'll just really try to parse it.
Know
the item number?
Oh, I don't know what it is.
Anybody know it offhand? I just went through it, I couldn't find it. 88?
Okay. Like, I feel like I understand how to watch the session in general without knowing, but I just don't know.
Okay, material of the hour is meaningful and relevant to child's conflicts. Okay, let's say, this particular session, this kid obviously is avoiding the therapist. He's trying his best to shut her out. Okay? I don't know who that therapist is, but whoever she is, she's getting shut out.
Frustrated.
Right. So let's say she says something like, "It seems to me as though you're trying to shut me out." Is the material of the hour meaningful and relevant to the child's conflicts?
Material that the therapist brings up rather than
anybody, anything, just any material. Mm-hmm. The material is that the child is shutting out the therapist. Is the therapist responding to that and picking up on that theme and verbalizing it and making it meaningful and relevant to the child's conflicts? Now, what if she said something like, oh, you know, your parents told me that they can't afford to bring you anymore. The therapy's too costly. Is that relevant to the child's conflicts? Or, hey, did you see that new Shrek?
That's
a better example. Did you see that new Shrek movie?
Well,
is that relevant to the child's conflicts?
No.
Or is, hey, I noticed you've avoided me in the session today. Is that relevant to the child's conflicts?
Okay, I guess I was looking at it more like it seemed like the overall session was about moving.
That's what I was thinking. I wasn't sure if he really had a recent move or if he's going to move.
I was thinking about you guys.
But we don't know. We don't know.
I was thinking about you guys in terms of those cards that are like current experiences versus past experiences.
Yeah.
I was thinking about cards like that too.
Yeah.
And, you know, how they would know what his current or past experiences are. But I thought it probably just he would have to say in the session, like, this happened to me or this is happening or something
mm-hmm.
would have to be indicated.
Do you know what item you're talking about?
I don't know the number, but there are two items. There's one about, like, current issues are emphasized, and there's one about, like, there's links made to past
Well, you made it. You did it. You made it.
Well, the links to past experiences, that's a slam dunk. I mean, that's the therapist saying, oh,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, you are playing about, you're playing a moving scenario because you just moved 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you were 2 years old, remember that you moved and that was very painful for you? I'm making this up. I mean, that item actually is very similar to a PQS item.
Okay, so that's more therapist
than right.
I like when about the is it relevant to the session thing. I think I put it like in a seven or something close to that. Because I was thinking about two things. The first one was about like the moving, like, and I felt that the child seemed to explain that that was relevant to him. Like he said, he asked her for her opinion about is it okay to be afraid, and she said something about moving to Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania is very far, and like it seemed like it was something that was like bugging him because he was asking
mm-hmm.
for opinion. And then later, like when he said, I don't want to talk about that, like it seemed like he was being defensive, so like you're being defensive. I mean, that was my inference, but it was like, I don't know if that inference is okay. That's how I put it in a seven. Those two things made me.
For which item? This item?
For the, is it relevant to the session, whatever the
uh-huh.
content. Like, those two things were my reason to consider it as characteristic, but I don't know if that was a good decision or not.
Well, just because he's getting defensive doesn't mean she's right, necessarily.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying, my point is, like, if he's defensive about some topic that he feels. I mean, you're defending about something that, you know,
right.
hurting you. Like,
yeah.
You're assuming if he's defending, then it's something important.
Yeah, I was like, he's defending
something
against something,
somewhere.
Whatever, I don't know against what. But,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is a good inference.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was also wondering if you could also infer, like, if she asked questions about things that he's doing while he's playing in reference to his wife, can you infer that she like knows something about his background, and that's why she's asking the question, like, you know, how did you feel when he's
well,
having a family?
We know that she knows something about his background.
No, I know, but when she from her asking the questions, can we infer that that's like part of his background, so that it's relevant, a relevant conflict?
I wouldn't go there. That.
How do you determine which is the like main conflict of the session? Because like you're saying how he's avoiding her and that's the main thing, but
well, that's clinical judgment. I mean, you look at this and you just what hits you in the gut as being the central issue or conflict that this kid's going through in the session. I thought in this particular case, it's pretty obvious what it was.
I don't know. I kind of just kind of did a question, but like I assume that that's probably just his typical form of behavior, and that, like, he kept talking about, like, fear of change and moving and all of those things. So mm-hmm. that was much more of, well, that's relevant to this particular session. That would be the wrong way.
No, actually, this is atypical for this kid, the way he behaved in this session. You disagree?
It fluctuates. Like, when you see enough...
That's pretty extreme, even for him, right?
This week was more extreme. The one I'll give you
today
is even more so. It's interesting. It's good we're having these discussions today, because I think it'll maybe help us...
It's like a group supervision for you.
Yeah, no, well, it's really good for me, and also to sort of for me to think about sort of the video I'm giving you this week, too, because you're bringing up, like, important points about sort of, is this... How do you know if this is how he functions, or and if does that play into the Q sort? I'm not sure if that plays into the Q sort though. Like, you wouldn't know if that's.
Well, how about this? If you thought of, like, a typical child, how does this kid deviate from the typical child in your head? A typical child wouldn't avoid and not respond to questions from adults at that kid's age, like this kid did. Right? So what would be his conflict compared to a typical child? One of his conflicts is the demand upon him to respond and to be a human being, and the wish to pull away and not treat her like a human being. So there's a conflict there, and I think it's very pronounced. If you think of how would a normal typical child respond in that kind of a setting? With a therapist who you know this patient has had a relationship with. Not the way he responded.
Well, we don't know the relationship.
Well, I guess that's true. If you were coding the very first session between these two people, you'd be right about that.
Well,
be more. You would think he'd be more familiar. It's a tough item. It sounds like a lot of people are having trouble with that particular item. And, you know, we had Celeste write us back on this particular item, and I think I read that last week, right, what she said. But you guys didn't feel that was very helpful.
Well, just some specific item of, like, focusing on the past. I saw, like, the moving, maybe, like, not necessarily, like, as a literal, like, he's been moving around or something, but more like a metaphorical, like, he's afraid to move forward, and he's, like, hearing maybe change was going on in the therapy session, wanting to revert back to, like, a previous developmental place for him. And then the other thing that I wanted to say, I guess, like, I was confused about the idea of, like, focusing on the past versus the future, because I saw him sort of focusing on all elements, sort of focusing on the past, wanting to go back there, but, like, maybe the future's not so scary once they check it out, and, you know, so I was confused about that particular item.
Yeah, I think as we'll go along, we'll see this in action. Was this the question? Yeah. This is one of the rare CPQ items that calls for a more subjective clinical account, but has proven to capture an objective sense or description of the coordination and resonance of interplay between therapist and patient. As a rater, you would be thinking about your own formulation and then looking for observable signs to justify your sense. Sometimes this can be glaringly unsalient. For example, when it seems that the therapist and or patient shy away from a topic, affective experience, etc., that seems quite meaningful and of concern to the patient in that hour.
Oh, so that kind of sounds like attunement there.
Yes.
But there's a card for attunement. I don't know. I don't know how discreet the item is, because it seems like it's going for a lot of things,
well,
that there's really other items for.
Well, attunement is a more global construct, right?
Yeah.
This is specifically about attunement to conflict, patient's conflict. See, I say, in other words, is the material the therapist is addressing in the session relevant to the child's conflicts as observed by the coder in the video? So, if you said to this kid, you know, I notice that you're avoiding me today. That's being attuned to his conflict. If you said, hey, did you see the recent Shrek movie? That's totally irrelevant to the conflict that he's presenting in the session. So you're right, it is related to attunement. I think it's attunement with regard specifically to the conflicts that this kid is exhibiting in the therapy session.
And do you think at the same time that would also, let's say, push towards a more characteristic pile the item about the therapist gets the process? At the same time,
accurately
perceives the process, the therapeutic process.
That would be part of, that would also be a conceptually similar item.
So like if she were to say that, like, it seems like you're avoiding me today, that would also help in that direction.
Yes, yes. Right, I mean, these items are conceptually all overlapping in ways, but they should be theoretically distinct as well.
I have another question about, like, one of my extremes, which was the therapist, like, does not interpret the child's play. I put it in the extreme characteristic, they felt that she was really not doing that. And I was just like, because of this, I mean, with this session, would you say that's correct? Like, because I was kind of confused, like, about it. Again, I felt it was very characteristic, but I wasn't for sure. It's like,
okay, what's the item number?
So I think you mean that you put it in uncharacteristic,
no.
Right?
I said that you did not interpret. Like,
right.
I think the item was.
I agree.
So be uncharacteristic.
But I think the item was that the therapist does not.
I think
it says it does.
I think the therapist does interpret play. Because I remember I put that one towards the low numbers. Because I don't think I wish I had interpreted a low.
Yeah, I don't think she did either.
So it would be correct that she did not in this case. Like,
yeah, let's see what other people did. Let's see what people did. 46. We've got 8, 9, 9, 2. 7, 7, 4. So who was the two?
Two's you, four's me.
Oh, so everyone else?
I thought she did too.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take Laura's and Sylvia's side. So bring it on.
I mean, the whole beginning, right? She's talking about, like, he's moving, and she's saying how, like, change is a different thing, and, you know, people must be, you know, that must be scary to make these changes, any changes in your life. Like, it was kind of going off of what he was doing, so it wasn't really close.
How many times did she do that?
I thought, I mean, that was like a major theme of the session, so I mean...
Well, it was certainly a major theme for him, but how many times did she actually interpret the meaning as having to do with him and perhaps his fear of change?
Okay.
Well, the whole time he's playing with that family, and she's asking him, like, who's in the family? And he's like, the dad, the mom, dad,
okay, now
and
that's,
uncle,
okay.
Baby.
So, let me stop you there. That is not an interpretation. That is what we call a clarification.
Okay.
She's making a clarification.
She did a lot of that.
She did a lot of clarifying. And actually, the way I've been supervising Laura on this case is that she's doing a lot of clarification for a very simple reason. This kid is not able to tolerate interpretation just yet, if ever, because of certain diagnostic considerations. So.
Oh, yeah, when she starts to get closer to interpreting, kind of.
But even asking questions is not interpreting. She asks a lot of questions and she does a lot of clarifying. That is not interpretation.
I feel like it stayed like very much like on a metaphorical level. Like I feel like she and the coder understood what it is that this was talking about him, but he didn't necessarily consciously understand that it was him. So I don't know if that would count as interpreting or if it's just...
Yeah, the interpretation has to be her conveying to the child the meaning of that play. Yes. This play is about you and this particular conflict in your life. Did she do that? Maybe once. that I can recall. What do you think, Giacomo?
I thought it was more. I'm trying to look at my, I can't remember my memory.
Did you write down a time?
No, I didn't write the time, but I just wrote
okay.
like actual quotes.
If you could do that, we could actually
look up.
I remember
in the beginning, what was it? Something about like the baby wants to stay in the house here. She goes where it's safe and knows what's around. And that's where it's comfortable. I didn't have a time for it.
Yeah, you know what you're describing. Oh, well, what you're describing is like, yeah, it's a little more than clarification.
It's
like
a little
I would
more
sometimes
than
restate what he said, and then I would like sum it up, or I would take it like a little bit.
Yeah,
further,
it was
not
like
really
a little bit.
Yet.
Yeah, I agree. It's like in between like a full fledged interpretation versus like just commenting or like rephrasing what he said. It's like a little bit taking an extra step almost.
Like
so I saw a lot of that maybe. I agree on that.
I think like I feel like, I mean, at least my way of saying interpretation is like it needs to be a further step. It needs to be not the baby in the family, but like
yeah.
you. Like I didn't see that switch. I don't know if that, I mean, that's my way of seeing interpretation. I don't know if that's a good way to do it.
Well,
it wasn't more.
At one point, like I just have a quote that he said. I don't have a time, but you ask him a question and he goes, I can't remember. And then you ask again and he said, what? I think they were already afraid of moving or something. He said one time, with this, or are you, yeah, are you afraid of moving? He said one time I wasn't, but this time I am. I worry I could move very far away. So I kind of, I guess, I was thinking it did kind of tie into it.
Well, that, even though she asked it as a question, that would be considered an it's kind of an interpretive question.
Yeah.
That would count. That would count. Let me give you an example. Celeska is a very nice example here. Kid is playing with a puzzle, and he's banging two puzzle pieces together, bang, 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 bang. And she says, I wonder whether the act of banging together these puzzle pieces may have something to do with your frustration that you can't make your parents reunite.
But does it have to be so blatant, though?
Yeah.
You know
what
yeah. I mean? No, but yeah, you're right. That's a really big
like, example. I don't think she made many interpretations saying, oh, so this is about, you know, maybe your family. It is more of like an extra leap about and then a generalization about. You know?
I think it's important. I would render this item very conservatively. I wouldn't be very liberal with it. She does use the word clarify here, but she's talking about clarifying the significance of the play, not clarifying who's the doll here. This is the father, this is the mother. That's like a more real clarification. How she's using that word is in the service of enlightening the patient to the meaning of what they're doing. That's an interpretation. So I'd be very conservative in
yeah.
rating this item.
Well, what about when I have written down, he goes something like, it's a new car, and then she goes, oh, wow, that's a lot of changes all at once. No wonder they were scared before, and that's a lot of changes happening all at once. Isn't that kind of like a broad sort of interpretation without, like, I don't know. I didn't know where that fit into. It's just not commentary, really. It's not, like, really just...
Well, it's kind of reflective, right?
Sort of.
It's like a Rogerian comment.
Yeah.
Right? Remember Carl Rogers, unconditional positive regard?
That was kind of that's what I was thinking at the time to make a sort of normalizing statement, like a supportive statement, and that wasn't very dynamic of me, but you're right about the Rogerian part. I didn't think of that.
Yeah. Remember Rogers' whole thing was
yeah.
you respond, you just basically rephrase
mm-hmm.
what the patient just told you, and that was to convey what? Empathy.
Mm-hmm.
That through that experience, the patient will feel understood. And there's value to that. I wouldn't demean that kind of treatment. I think treatment's a lot more than that, though. That's a part of treatment. But that would be, you know, a psychoanalytic therapist would call that a clarification. So Rogers' therapy is all clarification, it's nothing else.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
So how do you make the distinction then between just like clarification of like, oh, so you're saying this is the mom and this is the dad, and clarification like what Jasmine was talking about, like, oh, so you're saying that change is a scary thing. That's also really like you said, it's not really interpretation.
Well, if he didn't say that, and then Laura says, well, it seems to me that change is a scary thing for you. That is an interpretation.
Well,
but she doesn't say for you. She just just says, oh, so yeah. It seems that change is a very scary thing.
It seems like there's a lot of that. Like, he never, I don't think he ever even maybe mentioned the word change, you know what I mean? But, like, that word, like, came up a million times from, you know, urine. So,
well, she's attaching an affect that he has not articulated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she's labeling an affect. She's making an interpretation. What is the affect in the room that's not being verbalized? It's fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very basic interpretation. That would count.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But how many times, how many times did she do that?
I feel like you did that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's
the first time. I think the person who brought up the fear in the very beginning, and that's why I would not say that's so big, much of an interpretation, it was the kid. Like he said, she said what they're doing or something like that. He said they're scared. He actually said scared.
Okay, so then she's just parroting back what he already said.
Yeah, going
summarizing.
Along.
Summarizing.
Yeah.
Summarizing is not interpretation.
Yeah. But you generalized his comment.
Yeah.
Meaning he was said, yes, like moving is scary. And you're like, oh, so change. Is right. It wasn't just about so moving from one house to the other. Oh, so that's
you're right.
Scary and
more.
Right. And also you said something about like so it's not knowing about things that are scary when he was talking about like the room or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like oh yeah so now like they
like opening
saw
it up
all
for
the,
him to go personal
right
like, you know what I mean?
I saw now they saw all the rooms so now they know you know what's there so like comments like that.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, if you encounter an item like this and you really think through it carefully and you really aren't sure, it should probably go in a middle pile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think those very definitely those interpretations. I just don't know how much of that.
Yeah, I agree.
The question is whether it's you feel it's more characteristic or uncharacteristic of the session as a whole.
Yeah.
I still think the main distinction is that, like, I agree with, like the things you just brought up, like, I remember so distinctly, but I remember just, like, feeding so much off of, like, what he was saying. So, like, he would say something, and then I'd basically, like, pretty much say it back, but, like, in a more sort of consolidated way, like, so that he would sort of hear it back, you know,
it was
consolidated
almost related
like
to that,
that
part,
but
the theme part. Like, you know, you put a theme to, like, everything he was doing, you know what I mean?
Another question.
Yeah.
About another idea. So often, like some items would actually explicitly say this thing, whatever that item is about, comes up in discussion or in play. So and that like gets you out of trouble. Like you know, like, they say for the there's one for the parents. The parents are represented in discussion or in play.
Mm-hmm.
So he never said my parents, but he talked a lot
mm-hmm.
about parents. So like I felt pretty comfortable with that item putting
right.
characteristic. But other items, which of course now don't come to mind, but like I would be like. Okay, this one doesn't say or in play, but there was nothing almost like aside of like a brief part, there was almost nothing else than play in this session. Like it was all, everything was through play aside of the brief part where he became very defensive. But so how do I go? I mean, if I wanted to consider play for most items as
mm-hmm.
the content, everything would go into uncharacteristic, but that's not the case. Like things clearly happen just through play. So how do we go about like?
Well, unless the item explicitly says, you know, licenses play as counting toward that item, then you can't count it. Now, if you really feel that you'd be compromised by excluding play in rating the item, you know, note the item and then give me the item number and I can ask Celeste. You know, Celeste is on call to this group.
Mm-hmm.
She's very invested in how this group is doing and, you know, so if any kinds of questions like that arise, I can always email her, and she'll get back to me within 24 hours. But unless I know exactly what the item is, my response is unless it actually states play, you can include play in that item.
I guess like I didn't really write down which times it happened. It happened like at least two or three times at a time that I was like, if I count play, it definitely goes. If I don't, then so, of course, now I can't think of it.
All right,
but
well,
definitely, like,
we'll have plenty of future examples to work from. Sarah.
Another, I may have a question about.
Yep.
So there's two cards, I think, that mention like some kind of bodily function or bowel function.
Mm-hmm.
There's the sexual and the bowel one. There's also somatic or something.
Yeah, I don't remember.
There are two bowel items?
And if he goes to the bathroom, does that count, you mean?
Yeah, but like he doesn't say, all he said this time was, I have to go to the bathroom, but he got this kind of like, thing going on right before.
Yeah.
And but when it's that. Not talked about, like she just you just went into the bathroom and that's
right.
But just because that happened, is that enough to put the card in?
Well, what does the item say?
I wasn't even sure if that qualifies into the. That's my question. You know what I mean? Does that count? Him saying I have to go to the bathroom, does that count as a discussion about what it is? You know what I mean? Or something?
Yeah.
Well, let's look at the item.
Anybody
know what the number is?
The example for uncharacteristic for that item is something like child goes to the bathroom twice and it's still not discussed in the session or something like that. So like,
yeah, true, exactly that. And I remember I thought like, well, he went one, which is fairly normal maybe for a child.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to know that in the last video we did it happen too. Like, you're just looking at this one video.
Right.
What would we think? And that's an example of how we have to depart from.
But I think Sarah's point is really good about, but it wasn't talked about. The fact that he was all weird and then said, okay, I have to go back. Kind of like, you know, it wasn't really talked about. So
it wouldn't have been strange if I hadn't seen the other video.
Yeah.
Well, you
got to
try
to disconnect from
block
the fact
that out.
That happened too, so.
You gotta go, right?
Yeah. See you, Clint. All right.
I'll see you. Thanks.
It's funny that I looked at the whole thing.
Don't you hate when that happens?
It's gotta be there.
There's discussion or evidence of bodily functions. Item 16. Please place toward characteristic direction if there is discussion or enactment through play of bodily functions.
Yeah.
Bodily functions may include micturition, bowel movements, or the function of sexual organs. There's no discussion. There's no enactment.
What's a non-characteristic?
If the body functions are actively avoided, not discussed when this topic emerges in play or behavior. For example, child asks to be excused to use the restroom twice during the hour, and the therapist does not address this event. Once, you know, I have to put in a 4. Where do people put, this is item 16? 7, 6, 7.
Yeah, I got in 4.
4, 6, 5, 4. So people actually thought this was characteristic. But it's interesting. There was discussion. There was no discussion. There was no enactment. He's not pretending to poop his pants. And he's not having a baby pretend to poop their diaper. That would count. All right, so you have to have some kind of verbal accompaniment to the behavior. All right, so let's see. Sylvia and Giacomo and Laura were in the same ballpark. Does that make, for those of you who weren't in the ballpark, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And was there another one you guys wanted to, sexual feelings or thoughts emerge? That's item 11.
No, it wasn't that one. I thought there was another.
Well, there's one also, physical symptoms or health are discussed?
Yeah.
Is that it?
No, somatic concerns.
Somatic concerns. There was I don't think there was any in this session, right?
Or nonverbal gestures.
Yeah, there's one about therapist interprets the meaning of nonverbal gestures, which I did once.
Yeah,
not all over the place.
Would that count?
I mean,
the one time.
I mean, it counts, but
if it's one time, I just was curious because I was like, I think there was one, but it was about a look. Like he looked at me in a certain way, and I was like, does looks count? And I think they do.
Sure, absolutely.
They do.
Yeah.
No, it's a nonverbal.
It's a nonverbal behavior.
So I think I went to middle pie because it was just one. I think I went to six or something like that. But I just want to make sure that they don't count.
The somatic distress one, like having you in the bathroom, but like not asking you or asking you like later after being upset, like does that count or is that only?
What, physical symptoms or health? It's not part of that at all.
So what? There's a card that says child has trouble asking the therapist like appropriate requests or something, and because of that, I think I put that one in like maybe like a 4 or something,
so
or like a little bit towards
distress.
Uncharacteristic. Not somatic. Like I would put it more like in he's not able to appropriately request help for.
I think that he seems uncomfortable every time he has
that. Yeah, he gets like incredibly flustered.
Like he asks you, but he seems like very uncomfortable to have to do that.
Well, this kid's uncomfortable, I think, with his body in general. This kid masturbates. And she's been pointing it out. It's an issue with his body. So.
How old is it? Are we supposed to know his age?
He's what, 6?
He's 7 now. He's 7. Just 7. Yeah, that's probably helpful, especially when
sure.
you think of the card, like, do I relate to him developmentally?
Right, because this Q sort is supposed to be developmentally 7. Sensitive.
I have a question about the card Sylvia brought up before mm-hmm. this discussion. When the card she was talking about is like parents or guardians are mentioned and discussed, you know, or act mm-hmm. out in play, does the play need to be about his parents or just
no.
parents
in general?
In general. So any of the, or it's enacted in play, it doesn't have to be related to him.
Well,
at all.
You know, if you're looking at it from a psychodynamic point of view, it obviously is.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be in his mind.
Okay.
Just the idea of parents being verbalized counts for that item. That's why for that particular item he was way in the characteristic end. Yeah.
First one is like when this kid, I mean, at least to me, it seems like he speaks in a weird way. Like he articulates his words, like, and I mean, sometimes, like, does he have like a speech problem? Or, like, I don't know if, like, it's me not really being used to talk to kids in English. So, to me, when it's like kids, like, there's an item about the kid makes himself clear, like, speaks clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I was really torn because I was like, well, it's definitely clear, it's very slow. But I was like, is that normal? Probably not. So I was like, I just like put in the middle pot like 4 times. But I'm kind of like, I don't know. Because it's not like an adult, like clearly it's like, you know, does he ramble, does he not ramble? It's like, this is more like of a physical type thing. And I don't know how to feel about that.
There is a question though about like social appropriate behavior, and I feel like talking in a monotone or appropriately slowly would probably fit into
that
character.
I agree totally. You could capture some of that behavior in that item,
okay.
I think.
How would you go about the clear one? Not counting it as that, as if like that.
Well, which, again, which item?
It's just like the same one as in the adult. I think it's the same exact item. Like this says, patient speaks clearly, makes himself like a. Just about like the verbalization
for uncharacteristic it says like rambles or goes off topic or is unclear.
So it's more about the process of speech rather than the mechanics.
And that goes into that. Okay.
There were a bunch of times though where you had to ask even more than once, okay, so I guess I still don't understand what you're saying. Like,
yeah, that was just in response to one thing he said, but I asked a couple times because I thought it was really interesting what he said, but it didn't make grammatical sense, and I had no idea what he was saying. Even when I watched the video, I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about.
And also, like, about what you just brought up, like, the socially appropriate, I felt like when he ran out of the room, I thought that was not very socially appropriate, but I didn't know if that would count. Like,
at the end or for the bathroom?
At the end. Oh, like, when she said, okay, it's time to clean up, it's time to clean up, like, he never cleaned up, and then he just
walks out.
Yeah. Like, without even asking permission or, like...
That's true, I didn't
no, it, cleaning up. Absolutely. And again, Shoshana's item would capture that.
That would capture
Yeah, absolutely. It would pick up that.
Not saying hello or acknowledging when you walk in would also...
No, the kid is totally
and
socially
not
inappropriate.
Goodbye, just running out the door. Yeah, things like
it's
that.
It's totally inappropriate, socially. And truth be told, that's one of the, you know, precipitants for admission to the clinic. So...
The one about
keep going.
They're just coming out now. Like the one about the dad. I mean, no. There's an item that says, "Kid feels the uncharacteristic one feels protected. Like feels I don't remember which one is the characteristic end. Like something like unprotected,
threatened,
something like that. And there was like I put it towards the uncharacteristic about the protected because I felt in this one says or represented in play. So I felt when the dad goes to a grocery store and buys food for everybody, mm-hmm. like I felt there was an expression of protection against the fear of moving in a new house. And I don't know if that is an inference if that makes sense if it doesn't.
Remember the item number?
But also his parents like go off to
I guess
work.
I have to write this down.
But his parents like abandoned him at one point, like yeah. in the play.
But he said
his
he
parents go off to work and he's like, but I don't miss
them.
It's the aunt and the uncle.
Right.
But I'm okay with the aunt. I mean, so
right.
Those would count.
I feel like he didn't. I thought it was like a reaction formation kind of thing. Like, he really wants his parents to say, but I don't need them.
Well, I agree, but I don't.
Yeah, I really
want to
look
answers.
At this item.
What?
I really want to look at this item.
Here we go. Child expresses fears.
What's the number?
22. Expresses fears of being punished or threatened. Characteristic, the child expresses verbally or in play, fears that he will be punished or that someone or something is a potential source of pain, injury, danger, harm, or evil. Uncharacteristic, if child expresses expectation of being praised or protected. Oh, see, I think I put that more characteristic because of the danger and the sort of wariness of the moving. And I didn't think of the things that you brought up, like the father going and doing home dinner and.
But also, he like in his play. I mean, again, I'm drawing from the first video, but he always has to have a scene ball in court, you know, which is just really interesting for like a 7-year-old, you know what I mean? Like he seems to have this really awareness of like law.
Yeah.
If that's what I was thinking of.
Like the clock tower.
Yeah, it was just kind of that stood out to me. It's not just kind of strange,
I guess like my interpretation was like more, I mean, out of the luxury. I was picturing like the old house. I was picturing this kid living in Roslyn. I was picturing the clock tower as like the opposite to the new house. I was picturing the old house with the clock tower in Roslyn. So I didn't really think about the law. I thought about Roslyn clock tower as it being Roslyn.
But
maybe
he
was somewhere else.
No, but he made references
about,
to court.
About court.
Yeah. This time?
Yeah.
No,
in the last
session.
Oh,
session.
Okay.
But you're thinking like town
he was
hall
talking
is
about,
kind of
you know,
like the courthouse for last time.
Yeah, I think of that.
He didn't mention it all
that was
this
really
time.
Last
time. Meaning he
but
just
it
said
was there.
There.
Like
he just
yeah.
said that there was like a clock tower.
Town hall.
I was gonna say I know that it shouldn't matter that I know this information from the last session, but I feel like when she announces it, that there's 5 minutes left. He's like, oh, you know, he's like, he acts more socially appropriate. Yeah, he acts like he's gonna, he doesn't want to
until
leave
he
yet.
Leaves.
Until he sprints out the door.
He's
in
like, finishing
the sentence. Yeah, well, in the second one, I thought it was just a big change of how he walked out without saying goodbye. In the first one, he was paying you compliments, saying that you like figure things out remember, he was saying, well, he was acting much closer.
The teamwork song, yeah, the sessions were very different.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
He was acting like you were like a friend, kind of, in the first one. This one,
forgot. I thought he was kind of ambivalent, though, about leaving, because when you told him, like, it's time's up, like, he kind of did answer you and continued to play with the house.
And he had to put all the family to bed before
yes.
he could leave.
Right.
So he did, yeah, there's a part Stalt about
tactic.
Leaves easily, and I, like, I'd probably put that towards the middle, because
he,
yeah.
did and
he didn't leave right away.
Yeah.
Right.
He did, but he, because I said, it's time to go, it's time to clean up, and but he took some more time.
Right.
Yeah, you see how this instrument is designed to capture these differences across sessions of a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So one session, this kid can act like your best friend. It might be a stretch with this particular kid, but the next session, the kid doesn't even know you're in the room.
Yeah.
Doesn't even know. You might as well not even be there. You just blend in with the wall. This instrument is designed to capture those differences in the atmosphere of the particular session. I think it does a really good job of that, but we just need to master it better. I think this particular item 22, you know, there are elements of him feeling protected, but there are also elements of him feeling scared. And when you have elements of both sides in an item, what do you do with it? You tend to put it in a neutral pile.
Even if one seems to be a bit more predominant.
Well, if you feel that one is a little more predominant than the other, then you would certainly push it toward that end.
Yeah, like I've got it in six because I liked it a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
but still
you
not
feel like super.
Yeah, this is 22. See where people did.
It's. Child expresses fears of being punished or threatened, so characteristic is deep.
Sarah was 4, Leia was 6, Dustin was 5, Sylvia was 2, Shoshana was 7, Giacomo 5, and Laura 6.
I didn't think there were like any references
to.
Like 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
But it's Sylvia who really had the most extreme score.
They didn't consider the other aspect of like the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought like, because it says like,
monsters.
Child says the fears will be punished, something impotent, someone or something. I didn't look at the something,
mm-hmm.
and I only looked at the someone as
yeah.
potential source of the pain, and the move would definitely be the something.
A something.
But I didn't
sure.
see like him saying it's the parents' fault or like
right.
it's the uncle and aunt's fault.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't
right.
go on that side.
No, I got it.
Definitely would count.
So
yes. Yeah, like being like sort of sent away by himself, and that was like
yeah,
so
interesting
area,
how
he went by himself. That could kind of be related to being like punished if he did something wrong and he's going to be sent away. Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly that theme has emerged in other sessions. Of course, you can't
I'm
have that information.
To see things like that.
Well, you know, might as well.
Try to keep my poker face. But all of your guys' ideas are exactly.
No, you guys
right
catching
on
to this to this patient.
I can't confirm or deny, but you like,
like
are getting such a sense
no,
of.
No, me too.
I
really
hope one of you guys are assigned him because I think he's going to transfer, and we're having a transfer meeting next week. So.
Nobody wants
to
be played. Nobody
wants.
Nobody
wants.
Nobody
wants. Oh no!
That's
a
show.
Well,
I'm
just
scared.
Gonna get
him
more
do you
about
know
the
who
do
you know
no.
who your supervisee is?
I have no idea. I have not been.
Although,
usually, what happens is, the student tells me.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Like
I never know.
I end up transferring this case to, they're gonna try to keep you as the supervisor.
I would
the
hope.
Same because I well, they try and do that always. And I specifically said that you know, he's been in psychodynamic therapy. He needs to. Continue that way.
Yeah.
You can't just switch next year. So so I wonder that whoever is assigned this case would probably have you as a supervisor. But it sometimes changes up over the summer, which we'll tell you guys about at the meeting. So
maybe they really
don't
want this case now.
But if we get it, we would have to wait until we're done with the practice to have the real transfer of the case. We would have to like delay that until we're done with the practice.
We have the whole summer.
Yeah.
I know, but I mean, she like
you
if
could
next
probably still practice.
Oh, sure, why not?
Because you're gonna, if you get the case, you're gonna read his whole file, you're gonna meet him anywhere.
But we're not supposed to.
Unless the supervisor.
Well, I'm coding, and I mean,
Laura's
in the video.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I mean, Laura's engaging in this.
And I'm eventually moving to the real one.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm eventually moving to the real, like, research case.
No, I know. That's what I was saying. I was like, you know, maybe waiting until.
I think Sylvia's point is that doing the Q sorts, if this is your patient, is maybe a less instructive experience for you than it would be if you didn't know anything about the case. There's some truth to that, probably. I don't know that you're getting as much out of it as you would if you didn't know anything about the case, as far as your facility with using this instrument.
Right, I think it's probably like my reliability or the validity of my sort
yeah.
is damaged by the
right.
fact that this is my patient.
Right.
So we'll take that with a big grain of salt
I mean,
when you look at me. But
that point is actually
Linnae's
dissertation, essentially. That's what Linnae's looking at in her dissertation.
Which would be interesting to see how you're coding now compared to when you first got into supervision.
Yeah, that's
that
what
was
we're like going to
look
at. We think it's looking very different when I
yeah.
try to be even more objective than I was already trying to be.
Right. Another variable is that she's more familiar with the items now than she was at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Which makes a difference. Mm-hmm. All right. Sorry to keep you over.
DVDs for everyone.
Laura has DVDs. Dustin and I are going to try to work on pass protecting this file, and so you can just download it from my website. That would be a lot easier than this. So if anyone else has expertise in that, please let me know.
Would that be faster, though, than downloading
I'm not next week.
The thing?
Oh,
Laura
yeah.
Presented?
Oh, yeah.
Like
it'd be a lot faster. Yeah.
No, I'm preparing so I can get for
no, that was very painful
so
from that
here,
youSendIt.com.
Because also, I couldn't get my computer to save the initial computer I was using to save the document, so it's like I'd watch
oh my gosh.
One and then wait another 45 minutes and then watch the next one.
I'm coming here.
Really? I could tell
the following one. So I would be at the following
so
meeting.
So the set my
but I'm
laptop
are you coming
that I started using,
I'm
coming
to
Tuesday.
At
so if you
so
know what
so
following session you would be and you want to give it to me,
but that
yeah, well, what I can
computer.
Do, oh.
Next.
Oh, the problem will be that I haven't, that the sessions occur on Wednesday, so I wouldn't
you
have it until
Wednesday,
because I'm using
yeah.
like the present
session.
Let me see, but then
they're
the following
here.